He's Braden Gall. I'm Jason Fitz. Buck Rising back there at the board. Julian Council probably following around the Chick-fil-A guys until he can get endless free food.
Yeah, that's just disappear.
Yeah, he did. Like, Chick-fil-A came, and then Julian just left with them. So I'm not sure.
So Chick-fil-A and Laura Rutledge weren't here, and Julian disappeared.
Right. He's got his priorities straight. Kevin Kyle, though, right here, doing all the hard work.
Kevin Kyle's committed.
Yeah, he is committed to excellence. Steve Shaw, again, I want to thank Steve Shaw for giving us some time this morning and tell you, if you're just joining us, Bill Hancock from the College Football Playoff in about 30 minutes is going to join us. And Greg Sankey from the SEC Commissioner, Greg Sankey, going to join us, and we are going to ask difficult questions to both of those guys. So don't go anywhere. Stay woke on that as things are going to get
You better
skirt,
deliver, man. You're promising big things here.
Well, I think, I was direct with Steve Shaw. I mean, I asked him straight out about why, the thought of releasing grades on officials and if they track official bias. I mean, we're going to ask tough questions.
Well, an official bias, I think he did a good job to correct the term. And I think, much like the college
football
playoff.
No, he corrected the term blown call. But bias is
right.
A total
Well, and listen, I think that the chances of, and I think this happens in the playoff committee, and as he's talking about it, I'm thinking about the college football playoff committee, which is you have to recuse yourself if your team or somebody you're affiliated with is involved in the playoff conversation. You have to step out of the room while the playoff committee discusses that team. So Condoleezza Rice can't be in the room discussing, Stanford or her son goes to Duke or whatever. Like, you have to step out of the room. And so they are very cognizant of that. And I think everything you've heard here down the list tells you that they are going out of their way to double and triple check every possible angle that could possibly lead to some sort of anything. And that, again, as you and I have said millions of times, the official's success in this business depends on getting the call right. I don't think that's a hard concept for people to understand, but it seems like it. And this goes for the NHL officials in the NHL. In the Stanley Cup final, that all complained about the offsides with Philip Forsberg and the goal for Colton Sissons. Their livelihoods depend on getting the call right. And I think as long as we all understand that on the front end of every official in every sport, that removes any chance of all this stuff that people complain about, which is bias or on the take or they hate my team or my city. It's nonsense. It's not real. They are human, and they make mistakes, and those mistakes happen all the time. They're not because of a specific reason or whatever. And I think it's silly and lazy for fans to be like that.
I don't disagree that I don't buy into the bias conversation, but I will say this, as I'm sure somebody from Alabama is walking by.
Roll that.
I will say this. I think if they grade referees, and they do in every sport, we've heard it in every sport, I think if they grade referees, they should put those grades up when they announce the referees. They should put up, here's the referee, and this year he's scoring an 88.7.
And you know why they don't do that.
Right, because the only thing they can do is look bad in the process.
Right.
But ultimately, if they want to end any conspiracy theories about, the way these guys are judged, they make their stats public the same way they make a quarterback stats public. So at least we ask the question. So speaking of asking questions, yesterday, our own Jared Stillman asked Derek Mason, head coach of Vanderbilt, asked Derek Mason what the sort of ceiling is for Vanderbilt football. And the answer was inspiring, inspirational, and pointed towards Jared. We want you to hear it. Here's Coach Mason talking about it.
You know, there is no ceiling, Jared. It's good to see you, by the way. For me, what it comes back to is this. There's only two types of people in this world, limited and limitless, and you got to figure out which one you are. You know, man, we work extremely hard every day to make our mark and to figure out exactly where we're going. And you earn those every Saturday. So, man, we'll start where we're at. You know, right now, man, we have no victories. We have no losses. Okay, man, we line up versus MTSU, and we'll figure out exactly who we are, and then we'll go from there. But I do know this. This team's got something special. And behind it. I feel the energy. I understand who they are, and they understand where they're at. So to you, Jared, hopefully, man, you get behind the movement, okay, because we need you. We want you. Come check us out on West End.
Pointed answer there from Coach Mason.
He wanted Jared, and he wanted Jared to get behind the movement, and Jared obliged.
I think there's a little bit of I see you. I see you right there. That's part of what that answer says. And you couldn't miss Jared Stillman because yesterday he stood up on a chair.
He wanted him to join the movement.
Stood up on a chair, and this is his response to Coach Mason.
As we are here at SEC Media Days, I am standing on my chair here on Radio Row, Am I going to get behind the movement? Here's the movement I'm going to get behind. Are you ready? Are you ready, Floyd?
I guess.
Here's the movement I'm getting behind.
I don't know what's going to happen.
This is the movement for Vanderbilt fans. I give Vandy a better shot to win the SEC East this year than Tennessee. That's as far as I'll go. I think Vandy is better than Tennessee. And a lot of that has to do with coaching and quarterback and everything else. But for right now, as I sit here today, or I guess stand here on this chair at SEC Media Days, I am willing to tell people that I think Vandy is better than Tennessee.
All right, so where do I start here?
Strong words.
First of all, let's pull the tape on Jarrett Stillman picking the Tennessee Volunteers to win the SEC championship last year. Let's pull that tape, and then we can make sure that as he stands on chairs and says things, that we all get things wrong. We all get things wrong, and sometimes we all get things right. Last year, Vanderbilt beat, and this is not going to be popular amongst Vanderbilt fans, Vanderbilt beat Tennessee last year. They weren't the better team. The better team doesn't always win the game. That's why we play the games. And the idea that Vanderbilt has a better shot to win the SEC East championship this year than Tennessee is completely asinine. So while I'm rooting for Derek Mason, and I think Derek Mason is an absolutely perfect ambassador for Vanderbilt football, I love what he has done, and I've loved watching his growth. He's somebody that we all can root for no matter who our favorite teams are in the city of Nashville. He's absolutely a great ambassador for the city, and I think that we can all root for him. They do not have a better chance to win the East than Tennessee, and they are not a better team than Tennessee. So I'll be happy to eat my words if they go up to Knoxville and win the game. I got no problem being dead wrong about that, but I don't need to stand on a chair to say that that's sort of ridiculous. So I appreciate his joining the movement. I think that's important. I like people that are pro Derek Mason, but I think suggesting that this strikes me like Booger McFarland, right? Booger McFarland was on Monday and he said Tennessee's going to be abysmal. Dari Noka came on and said that's because he got angry at Tennessee for being wrong about Tennessee for 2 years. I think Stillman is angry because he picked Tennessee to win the SEC championship last year and was so wrong that now he's swinging. He's the counterculture. He's leading the counterculture movement that is prevalent within SEC Media Days. And to be fair to Stillman, he's not the only one. Everybody is anti-Tennessee right now.
As angry as Stillman is, I'd let him come on the Cumberland Dragon Boat Festival with us. The 11th annual Cumberland River Dragon Boat Festival benefits the Cumberland River Compact, comes back to Nashville Saturday, September 9th. Find 20 coworkers like Stillman, friends like Stillman, or even strangers like Stillman. But don't miss participating in Nashville's most fun outdoor event. Teams from all over Nashville compete in a 250-meter race for the title of Grand Champion. There's a limited number of spots, so you got to go to CumberlandRiverCompact.org to register. And I think what this comes down to that you said there, that's absolutely true. This isn't about pro Vandy. This right. is about finding any dramatic way to say how much you think the Vols are going to stink this year. And that's what I think this is just.
Yep.
This is a reactionary moment where you're coming in and saying, I believe so little in the Vols that I am willing to say this. And that's what we're seeing, not just Stillman, but a lot of people say, and I agree with you, I think it's a little bit like you were dating a girl and she was super hot and you thought she was going to be the one, and then you, like, she's super cool. You get into the relationship, you find out she's not cool at all. You find out you can't stand her at all. And then at this point, you've broken up with her. And so now she comes back a year later and she says, look at me, I've changed. And you're just like, nope, I refuse to see that. I think that there's a little bit of jilted lover syndrome here for the Stillmans and the Boogers. I don't think Tennessee is going to be a great football team this year. You know that. I'm not making any. I'm not mincing words about that. But I think to say that you can reasonably expect Vandy to be a better football team this year is a bold statement that is more about Tennessee than it is about Vandy.
And to have a better chance to win the East, Vanderbilt has literally never competed for an SEC East championship. And you can argue that they may never will. Now, I think that's not true. I think they will eventually, if all things fall right. Is it possible that they could compete for a division title? It's possible. But last year, by definition, Tennessee was 9-4 and Vanderbilt was 6-7. So,
right.
By definition, Tennessee was the better football team. They played on the field. Vanderbilt beat them. Fair and square, dominated the game, put up all kinds of huge numbers on them. The better team doesn't always win the game. So to follow that all up, that's all last year, man. Last year's different. This year's different. Vanderbilt has a chance. If they go 8-4 and Tennessee goes 7-5, then yes, Vanderbilt will be the better team. And that's still to be proven. I find that to be very far-fetched.
What I know is that Xfinity is a better team. AT&T and UVerse, you had that whole thing. They split it back up. Now you're stuck with AT&T speeds you don't like and a satellite dish that you don't like every time it rains. Don't get played by AT&T. Don't get stuck with the satellite dish. Go to Xfinity, reliable TV service, rain or shine, the fastest internet speeds. You can download your stuff wherever you go. There's a Xfinity X1 voice remote so you can get your shows just by pressing a button. Bam, you got it. Plus, up to 5 lines of talk and text with Xfinity internet service. No activation, no line fees, plus 2 easy data options available so you can stream entertainment on the go, save along the way. Go ahead and compare that to AT&T, then come to Xfinity. I've got an offer for you. Ends July 31st. Requires more money to go bill, paperless billing, and auto pay restrictions. Apply, not available in all areas. New customers only. Equipment taxes, fees, including broadcast TV fees, RS fees, are extra, subject to change after promo. Regular supply. Free installation. Limited standard installation on 1 outlet. Non-standard installation. Equipment taxes, fees, extra. Wi-Fi claim based on Xfinity. Gigabyte server, router coverage, and speed on a 5 gigahertz band. Severe weather, heavy rain or snow may interfere with the satellite signal, causing the picture to freeze or pixelate. Here's what you got to do. Don't settle for AT&T and DirecTV. Get started with Xfinity for as low as $19.99 per month for 12 months, or ask how to get even more speed with Blast Internet. Now with speeds up to 75 megabytes, Xfinity Internet, perfect for everyone. So be sure to call 1-800-XFINITY or visit Xfinity.com and make the switch to Xfinity today. When we come back, some highlights from yesterday and a reason why, even though the SEC isn't considering one major change, they should be. We'll do that next up. Braden and Fitz, ESPN, 102.5 The Game.
Is what you missed.
Missed it by that much.
We look up and we see, bam, Scott Ramsey walking by, president and CEO of the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl.
The buzz is everything now, and the buzz is that we're even more so a can-do city that really doesn't have a lot of limits.
We get to hang out with Paul Feinbaum.
As an alum, I think Tennessee should be in the same category as Alabama and Florida, or LSU. I mean, elite programs, and it drives me crazy to hear fans accept mediocrity.
We basically did this next guest's job yesterday for him.
Yeah. We did. We did his whole show.
Not only did we make Butch Jones, we proved that he has a cardiovascular system and a digestive tract, which means he's a real human being. We did that on our show, and then we programmed all of Knoxville Sports Talk Radio. Did we not, Josh Ward from WNML?
Yeah, you kind of made Knoxville Sports Talk Radio skirt yesterday.
Well done. I'm so mad right now. Today, you know, when head coach Derek Mason walks by, we just group hug, and that's our approach. We group hug, and then we snuggle them over.
Coach, did the SEC commissioner just come over and give you a hard time? Is that what just happened?
Commissioner Sankey just came by and saw the camo swag and looked in and said, hey, listen, hey, man, I like your style.
That's swag recognizes said. Swag is yeah, what it is.
Absolutely.
We went from one Vandy rep to two representatives of the team as Oren Burks, linebacker for the team, Ralph Webb, running back for the team. They join us. I want to ask Ralph, there were people that were surprised you decided to come back. How did that process go down for you? What did you look at? How did you weigh it?
You know, I did a lot of talking with my family, a lot of praying, a lot of discussing with the coaches. Coach Mason in particular, I met with him a few times. Just analyzing the whole situation and see what would be best for me on the other side. And I think coming back this year will increase my draft stock, put me in a better position for this year's coming up draft, and also help my team put us in the best position to win more games this year.
How has the identity of the Vanderbilt Commodores football team evolved in your time at Vanderbilt?
Yeah, I think we just bought into Mason's scheme. I mean, he's a guy that's very energetic, as you guys know before. He just brings a lot of energy, and we feed off that energy. Whether it's in practice, whether it's meetings, it doesn't matter. So, I mean, he's a guy about doing the right thing and being relentless, tough, and intelligent. So, just glad to have him as a coach, man. He makes things fun.
So, lost in all of this is that he had to call home to mom and honey and find out how Buck was doing last night at 8:30. Like, they've got to check in. Is that demanded by Buck, or is that a you'd rule? Or which one of you demands that the other one calls him when you guys are on the road away from each other?
Why don't you tell them what you called me this weekend? Like, what nickname did you give me?
My Arabian Sunflower.
Fantastic stuff from yesterday. Just, again, I can't say enough awesome things about the opportunity to be down here and get you some of that. We have to give a huge shout-out to Pepper Boxing, Volunteer Hose and Gasket, Walker Chevrolet. It's given Stillman the opportunity to stand on chairs and yell to the rafters. It's given us the opportunity to sit down with some of the biggest names in college football over the last few days.
Can we then have Derek Mason and Jared Stillman go into a Pepper Boxing tournament?
Oh, my gosh, yes. Yeah.
You want in on that?
I think we should make that happen. Yeah. Okay. I'm in on that. Yeah.
Okay.
I got
Walker Chevrolet to the boxing match.
Right. And I've got $5 on Coach.
And in case something happens, you know, volunteer hose and gasket will take care of it.
Right. Well, and the other side of it is you being an undefeated amateur
world champion.
Boxing.
No, I'm retired though.
Oh, well, I mean,
I'm not taking part in this.
You wouldn't come out of retirement for that?
Depends on how big the purse is.
Well, I'll bring one of my wife's. She has several that are large. we're not actually talking about purses.
See what you
here.
Did there.
Yeah, see what I did there? So we're going to have, and coming up in just a few minutes, Bill Hancock, College Football Playoff Committee. He's the chair of all of that, runs everything. Bill's going to be here. We're going to get into some stuff with him. Greg Sankey going to join us after that, commissioner of the SEC. And it raises a question because Sankey said on Monday that there is no conversation happening in league circles about realignment, and I don't know that either of us necessarily support realignment, but we definitely support the same theory of how they could change the process in the SEC.
Yeah, I agree, and I think divisions should be done away with in every conference. I just think the Big 12 is going to put 1-2 into its championship game. I don't care if it's a rematch because I think I'm willing to trade the fact that it could be a rematch, which it will be in the Big 12 every single year. It's fine for them. It's happened before in college football. That a rematch is not nearly as important as having the best two teams play in the game. I want the championship game to be the best game it can possibly be, which means I want 1-2 to play in the championship game. What that also does for everybody's league, whether you're a Big Ten fan or an ACC fan or whatever, it gives your champion, the best chance to get into the playoff. Now, the SEC doesn't really have that problem. Their champion's probably going to get in. But what happens if Tennessee, Georgia, or Florida this year wins the East and they go 8-4 and they knock off Alabama? What if Florida have won one of the last two championship games? They weren't going to make the playoff. So all you're doing there is maybe knocking the SEC out of the playoff at that point. So I think the risk doesn't outweigh what could be the best game of the year every year in each league, which is 1-2 for a championship and a trip to the playoff hanging in the balance. I think that's what makes the best product in the SEC championship game. So the Big 12 has it right, in my opinion. I think if they do away with divisions, that solves some of these problems. It doesn't mean it doesn't create other problems. But this realignment thing where Auburn moves one division and you know, Missouri changes divisions, yeah, geographically that makes sense. I understand it. But the bottom line is if you chase competitive balance over time, you're never going to find it because teams cycle up, teams cycle down, and you have no idea what the SEC will look like when Nick Saban retires, what the balance of power looks like in 10 or 15 years from now, and then 30 years from now, and then 60 years from now. You can't just keep guessing at competitive balance. You can't achieve it. So why not put them all in the same division and have 1-2 in the championship game?
I don't have any problem with that. I think that makes sense, and why not at least consider it? What I think is interesting about Sankey's comments is that it's not even a conversation.
Right.
And that's what I don't understand. I mean, why not have the conversation about, are we currently right now maximizing what the SEC could be? Are we currently doing everything we can to make the SEC as competitive as it can be, as balanced as it can be, and give us the best possible champions? Because I think, to your point, a 1-2 gives you the opportunity. I think it gives you an even better opportunity to secure two playoff spots at some point. An example being a 1-2 that is Georgia, a bad Georgia team. Right now, an SEC championship game that's a bad Georgia team versus an Alabama team, for example. If Auburn comes in and their only loss is to Bama, Bama comes in and loses in the SEC championship,
Auburn might sneak in.
You know, you don't know how that's going to look.
Right.
You look at a playoff system where it's 1-2 in the same situation, you have Auburn and Alabama playing, and one of them wins in the regular season, one of them wins in the playoff. You've got a better opportunity of getting both into the playoffs.
Which also, and if you want to spin this forward to another conversation, which is when the playoff does expand, they're going to make automatic bids a thing, right? So if
right.
you win your conference championship, you get into the playoff, which then gives us an NFL-like system that nobody wants. I don't want an NFL system where just because you won your division at 7-8-1, you get into the playoffs. I don't like automatic bids because that doesn't necessarily put the best teams in the playoff. I like the playoff at 4 teams because it's exclusive. It's incredibly hard to get in. I like that. I don't want 8-4 Tennessee beating 12-0 Alabama and 8-4 Tennessee getting into the playoff.
Right.
You're not one of the top 7 or 8 teams in college football if you're 8-4. That's just not the fact of the matter. So you're opening yourself up for more criticism by having your championship games essentially be 1-4 or 1-5 or 1-3 even. When you go 1-2, you're giving your fans the best product. You're giving your corporate sponsorships the best product. You're giving your TV partners the best product. you're getting the best ratings probably out of the deal. You're getting the best football game.
Right.
And you're giving your conference the best chance to make the playoffs. So, to me, one versus two is the best possible championship game you can have. And the Big 12 has that right now. Nobody else has that.
I can't find an advantage. I can't find a disadvantage to your system. Let me say it that way. I can't find a disadvantage. And that, to me, is in and of itself a reason why they should be having the conversation. And we'll have this conversation again. I mean, we could speculate all day long. But Greg Sankey, SEC commissioner, is going to join us in just a few minutes. We'll get his thoughts on it. In the meantime, before that, I mean, we're stacked for this last 30 minutes. We're going to have a heavy last 30 minutes. Bill Hancock, college football playoff chair, is going to come on, join us. We'll get his thoughts on some hot issues around the playoff system, and then we'll talk to Greg Sankey. So the next 30 minutes, stacked. Don't go anywhere. It's Braden and Fitz, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. He's Braden Gall. I'm Jason Fitz. Julian Council. Around here somewhere, rounding people up. Kevin Kyle doing a great job, by the way. If you are just tuning in, it's Braden and Fitz, ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we are live in Hoover, Alabama at SEC Media Days for what has been a fantastic run of guests throughout the course of the week. And the next 30 minutes are going to be fantastic. In just a minute, we're going to be joined by Bill Hancock from the College Football Playoff Committee. That's going to be fantastic.
He's a very popular man.
Yes.
So
we are efforting those things as we speak. And it's absolutely been. And then don't forget Greg Sankey going to join us just a few minutes after that. So things, it's hectic around here for the last 30 minutes. 3D going to come up next. And, you know, they're going to continue the coverage. All of our shows today will have substantial coverage of everything you need to know from SEC Media Days. And it's really been an honor to be down here. Again, I got to stress Pepper Boxing, Volunteer Hose and Gasket, and Walker Chevrolet for getting us down here. It's been fantastic. And now we are joined by Bill Hancock. We appreciate your time this morning.
I'm glad to be here. Y'all doing okay?
We're doing fantastic.
We're doing great.
A lot of buzz this morning here at
yes.
SEC Media Day.
No question. I asked you this last year, Bill, and this was at the end of the experience. How many total interviews do you expect to do in your 4 days in Hoover, Alabama this time?
Checked with Lauren, who keeps me on schedule, and she said 41.
Total?
Yeah.
For the whole week?
41?
That's 41.
Not bad.
Not bad.
That doesn't count the print.
Oh.
Wow. Okay.
Well, those guys are vultures.
He said it. You don't have to. He said it.
The guy up there said the same thing about you. You're going down there to Radio Row with the Vulture.
Yeah. That's a fair point.
No, not really. Yeah. No, it doesn't count the print. But for me, I sit around all day for 4 days and talk about college football. My goodness.
Yeah.
What a great life.
Well, let's talk about college football a little bit. And my question to you, because now there's so much conversation about should the playoff be more teams, should the playoffs be include more programs. So my question to you is, sitting here today, if you went back to the inception of this, would you do it the same with four teams in the playoffs?
You bet. We'd do the same thing. Four is the right number for this. When we were creating the playoff, we had a big spectrum of options, all the way from go back to the old bowl system, don't even try to match up one and two in a bowl game, over to 16 teams on the other end of the spectrum. And we began to weed them out from the ends. We knew we couldn't go back to the old bowl system. That'd be silly. We knew we couldn't keep the BCS. We also knew 16 was too many. And it came down to four and eight, really. And four let us keep the focus on the regular season. We have the best regular season in sports. And why would we ever monkey with the best thing going in college athletics? So at some point, the point is about eight and more. At some point, a big playoff would begin to take away from the regular season, frankly, like it has done in college basketball, which I love dearly. But we all need to be working on November, December, and January and February in college basketball. Yeah. Well, we don't need to do that in football. We don't need to take anything away from the regular season. We're the last sport. We're the only sport where the regular season is still awesome, where we don't have a kind of an all-comers type of meet at the end of the year. Play regular season doesn't mean much. Then go to the postseason where everybody gets another chance. That's not the way we have chosen to operate in college football.
Exclusivity is a good thing, in my opinion. Bill Hancock joining us here. Now, let me ask a couple stats here that everybody knows. We have more bowl games than we've ever had in the history of college football. They're making more money than programs and are because of the bowl games than we've ever had in college football history. We got more teams going. We've got better TV ratings for most bowl games in the history of college football, still dwarfing other sports. Why do coaches and in particular, we don't want to all get on the bad side of Nick Saban, but why is it that coaches are complaining about the health of the bowl system?
Nick is a big picture guy. Nick can look into the future and say, what are things going to be like in the future? Nick doesn't want anything to happen to the bowl games. He sees he has been at a program that needed a bowl game to get its kind of get a toehold for its program. So he wants that to continue, and Nick and I have talked about this. He's not anti-playoff at all. As a matter of fact, he supports and he likes the playoff, but he says we have to keep our eye on what's happening with the bowl games.
How do you, though, in this process then weigh sort of what you think is best for college football versus the crazy thirst of fans that may want more or less of either side?
Yep, fans want more. And a lot of people, when they say they want eight, I say, how come? They say, well, they want more football. That's what they want. They want more games. Well, my goodness, who can argue with that? That's why people are still watching bowl games on TV. They love college football. But we have found a balance with four. Four gives us the playoff and keep the regular season. And the other thing about four is, well, Nick and Dabo and Urban Meyer all have said to me, two postseason games is plenty for their players.
Yep.
By the time they get to the championship game, the end of the championship game, their kids are nicked up, they're beat up. And they've said, we can't imagine having to crank up and do it again next week. So four is where we are by the contract, but four is where we are emotionally and culturally also.
When I spoke with you last year, we mentioned sort of the New Year's Eve issue and how you guys have handled that, and then there's some announcements and some slight changes were made to that. Now you got another year of data to analyze, right? We're now 3 years through this data process. What have we learned now through 3 years that affects the way things are going to be done and run and handled in the next 10 years?
Yep, we made a major change last year. We tried New Year's Eve on a weeknight, and it didn't work. The numbers of viewers just went down a little bit, and this is for the semifinals. And so we said, hey, we got to fix it. And so I was so proud of our board for being flexible enough to fix it. We found out about it in January, and by April we had fixed it. The fix is the semifinals now will either be played on a Saturday or a holiday for the rest of the contract. It was the right thing to do.
What's the next challenge you think the board needs to be reactionary in fixing?
We have to keep, not a fix necessarily, but we have to keep, maintain the integrity of the selection committee. One reason people like the playoffs so much is, yeah, they have a bracket, they got another game, they got a tournament they can follow, I get all that. But they also respect this committee, high integrity people. You can argue, you can debate Condi Rice's opinion or Tom Osborne's, but you cannot debate their integrity. You can't say, yeah. You're speaking of a position from a, you've lied to me, or you're coming from a lack of integrity. No. So we have to keep high-integrity people on the committee.
It's interesting. I always tell fans, are always like, well, what about this person? What about that person? I go, Condoleezza Rice has sat in a room and decided whether or not they should bomb other countries. I think she can handle which football team is better or not. Like, it's just ridiculous to think that they can't handle this.
Condi is, she's fabulous. She's down to earth. She's smart. She knows and loves college football. It was one of the highlights of my career was getting to know her.
Yeah.
And she'll be a friend for life. That's the way she is.
One of the most interesting things about the committee is that it creates weeks of conversation trying to predict how the committee is going to view certain teams. Over time, do you think that gets easier for everybody to get a sense of the committee? Or do you really feel like the committee is going to be year to year very different in what they view?
The latter. It's year to year because every year is different. The first year we had TCU and Baylor, neither one played a good schedule. Baylor defeated TCU. A lot of people thought TCU was better, even though Baylor had beaten them. Last year, the issue with the three Big Ten teams that had all beaten each other made it very difficult for the committee. And then we had Washington sitting out there that had not played a good schedule but had played very well against teams in the league. And the coaches on the committee kept telling us, hey, they're good. They got a really good quarterback, and they've got great players on defense. So every year will be different. And so people who are looking for an absolute scientific data-based rationale will be disappointed, because that's just not going to happen.
Bill, I've been a long-time proponent of anti-expansion. I'm with you. I think four is perfect. I think exclusivity is wonderful. I think it's great. Certainly, fans out there don't always agree with that, and that's okay. If there were to be pressure to push this fan agenda to grow the playoff, does that come? Where would you anticipate that coming from? television partners, conference commissioners. I mean, there is an outcry from fans. I'm with you. I push back on it all the time. I do not want to see the playoff expanded. But there is a conversation out there that we have to acknowledge. So where would that pressure come from if there were to be some sort of pressure that implements change?
Good question. I would have to liken it to the pressure that happened at the end of the BCS time. It was internal from coaches, some coaches who didn't understand how it operated, and I completely understand that. It came from the press. It came from fans who then were encouraged by what they heard from the press. We are feeling none of that now. Not even the people who say they'd like to have eight, the tiny percentage of people who'd like to have more. And I get all kinds of playoff plans in the mail, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I know. Fans.
Oh,
like
my goodness.
Handwritten stuff?
Y'all would love it. Handwritten all the way to 36-page, you know, bound manuals. And I think, I wish I had that much time. If I did, I wouldn't
invest it in this. It'd be a lot of fun, though.
It'd be a lot of fun.
How about two in the same location? Has that ever been a consideration for like a fine, like the college basketball?
Yep.
Like you have maybe
yep.
two teams in Atlanta on a turf
yep.
field. Any? I mean, that could be fun. I'm not saying I'm a fan of it, but it could be fun.
It could be fun. Not going to happen.
See, I'm just handwriting stuff and handing it to Bill Hancock.
It's fantastic stuff. I know we got to let you go. We appreciate your time, Bill Hancock, Executive Director, College Football Playoff Committee. We appreciate your time and your honesty in the conversation.
Y'all are great. It's always fun.
Thanks,
take
Bill.
Care.
Good
all
luck
right.
with the Vultures upstairs. When we come back, Greg Sankey, we go from one epic guest to the next. Greg Sankey, SEC Commissioner, going to join us up next. Braden and Fitz, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. Buck Rising is back at the Game National Studios, brought to you by Wholesale Inc. of Mount Juliet. Huge shout-out, by the way, to Buck. Buck has done some amazing work this week, obviously, back at the studio, dealing with us, mainly. So, Buck, fantastic job by you, even if you did kick Laura Rutledge off-air mid-conversation. We forgive you at this point.
Let's blame me for the internet.
Here's a tease for tomorrow, okay?
Okay.
I just got a little tidbit, a little information about what the worst-case scenario for the College Football Playoff Committee could be. And we'll do that tomorrow.
That is going to be fantastic. We have to do that
tomorrow because we will find out what the worst possible case scenario is for the College Football Playoff Committee in any given year. I asked Bill Hancock about this, and he said that would be the worst possible case scenario. So that will be coming up tomorrow on the program.
Well, coming up right now on the program, fantastic. We're honored to have Greg Sankey joining us, SEC Commissioner. Thank you for your time this morning.
Absolutely. We're going
to
stand up for the interview.
I've been sitting down.
Totally good.
We've been up since so early that sometimes you just start.
I have a standing desk in my office for that reason.
Yeah. There's lots of studies about it, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
You're big into the whole physical health.
I never thought I'd stand all day at a desk, but I stand all day at a desk now. Mine goes up and down, but I leave it up. So nobody cares on the other end of the radio about that.
Well, usually one of us will stand up, and then one is stood, the other one's like, fine.
It's the herd mentality, yeah. Commissioner. That's what it is.
I just nodded you for standing up during radio broadcast.
That's fantastic. So now that you and I have just met, I'm going to just come right out with a difficult question. Okay, because last year, obviously, the handling of the LSU-Florida rescheduling was not a dream situation. I think the media sort of exploded over it. Now that you're where you are, if you had that moment to do over again, how would you handle it differently?
Well, that was well said. Not a dream moment. I think it's easy to Monday morning quarterback, but there were realities happening with Category 4 hurricane moving up the Florida coast, the movement of public safety personnel out of the Gainesville area, which dictated certain things. If you had the opportunity last year at this time to designate authority for the commissioner to just place it like I have now, sure, that would be easy. But don't think that we weren't talking about those things, but the membership didn't say, do that. They said, we've always been able to work it out. We just came to an impasse. We had the game played, really good game that we had played, and we'll move forward and, you know, hope for good weather, but prepare that there could be not just weather issues, but any matter of public safety as world events change around us that we're attentive to.
You know, what I love about the way you operate, Commissioner, is the big picture thinking. And you did a lot of talking during your opening statement about the history of the league and how rich it is. And you mentioned Perry Wallace, which we obviously in Nashville are huge fans of his story. And all this big picture stuff about the past and the future. When you look 15, 20 years down the road, which is how you have to operate as a commissioner, what is the biggest issue for college athletics? We're dealing with all this stuff with pay for play and all this other. It's very, very complicated. How do you handle that, and what is the biggest issue moving forward in 20 years from now?
There are three that I'd bring top of mind, but let me just go back and say the history of this league is critically important for us to remember and honor. And that's why I could talk about all kinds of policy issues Monday, but I think it's absolutely vital that we honor people who helped affect change and who positioned us where we are today in many ways. And since we have this 50th anniversary, both of Nate Northington at Kentucky and of Perry playing varsity at Vanderbilt, I think it's important to talk about that. But looking forward 15 years, sometimes you inform that by looking back 15 years. And what you realize is the pace of change is progressing much more rapidly than it was back in 2002. You know, from 2002 to 2012 was somewhat steady state, a lot of tweaking. From 2012 to 2017, rapid change, conference membership change, media landscape change, litigation. And so I look at those and say, if I look out 15 years at the big picture items, the media landscape ought to be front and center because that's evolving rapidly, how people consume content, how they watch our games, how they engage in our stadiums with some of that availability and how that changes our thinking. That's one. The second is we have any number of points of litigation. We need to move through those. I believe our universities host our athletic programs. Education is at the center of what we do. This is not professional athletics. This is not semi-professional athletics. This is college athletics. The model adapts and changes over time. We provide cost of attendance now, so there's more money flowing to support student-athletes. You look at facilities, and people say it's an arms race. Yet when Apple builds a new facility, it's not an arms race. It's what they need to do to support their programs. And that's what happens on our campuses. And so Vanderbilt's done work on their baseball venue and the support structure there. They worked on McGugan, and that's all part of supporting young people. So I think the litigation's third, and that young person piece, how we engage with student athletes is important. I've gotten to know Oren Burks well. We see each other in the hallway here.
We asked him about that. We said, it's a good relationship to have, Oren. You should know the commissioner.
Yeah, it's a good relationship for me because that's a perspective. And he said we had almost 70 student athletes in town this weekend talking through policy issues. Oren wasn't there, but he said what happened because he's interested in that. What were the issues? And we talked about the 14-week football season, about the recruiting structure in football, and making sure we continue to receive input from our football student athlete leadership council, and then the issue of preparing for the next phase of life, which he's doing quite well
at. Yeah, he'll be fine.
So, yeah, I mean, he may be a consultant for me someday.
Well, he does a far better job tying a bow tie than I can ever figure out.
Yeah, same. I've tried it twice, and it wasn't nearly as neat as his.
It's Braden and Fitz. We're talking to SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey. So let me ask you, because part of what you just talked about was listening to the voice of players and administrations, there's also a voice of the fan that seems to get louder and louder in SEC football especially. That voice is screaming a lot about realignment. You made it clear in your statements a couple of days ago that's not something you guys are talking about. How much do you weigh what the schools want versus the voice of the fan that seems to get louder versus what's best for everybody when you decide on what to discuss?
Yeah, let me separate the two issues. So let's just talk about divisional alignment. I actually don't hear that from fans. That was a radio interview with a former head football coach at Auburn who introduced the issue in May when conference expansion gets talked about. It's like a revolving door of issues every year. It's May. We're going to talk about expanding the playoff, expanding conferences, and divisional alignment. Yeah, sure. You would never have, from my perspective, a single conversation about one element of football scheduling. You just wouldn't reduce it to just this one element. And the best example is we went through a wide-ranging dialogue in 2013-14 as a league with our athletics directors, our presidents, and our chancellors after expansion to say, here's all the options. And by all, I mean all the options. Number of games, alignment, who plays in the championship game. And our membership said, what we do works really well. And by the way, the evidence suggests that's the right place. We've been in 10 of 11 national championship games, won 8 national championships during that period of time. We've had 4 different teams access the national championship game. And if you remember in 2012, Georgia was about 4 yards away from winning our championship playing Notre Dame, and they probably would have been the national championship. So that's how close we are, that's how well supported we are. And then out of that 13-14 conversation, we added the requirement that a ninth game be against a colleague conference, a high-level opponent, and that produces Alabama, Florida State. Kansas State's coming in to Vanderbilt. Tennessee's playing Georgia Tech. Kentucky's always played Louisville, but then Florida, Michigan, BYU, LSU, North Carolina State, South Carolina. I'm leaving some out, but, you know, you get the gist that if you do some of these changes, you wouldn't just do one, you'd look broadly. We've done that and said we're in the right place, and the evidence suggests we made the right decision. Now, we're attentive to fans, though, and one of the learning experiences yesterday was what I saw from Mercedes-Benz Stadium and how intentional they've been at asking the fans for feedback. And Rich McKay said they had, I think, 5,000 total in this cohort, both their soccer fans and the football fans, to say, what do you want in a venue? And we've had a fan experience working group over the last 5 or 6 years that we've talked about kind of re-engineering how we address things. What we've done in the past is and we still conduct fan surveys, what's on their mind, concession prices, concession lines, clean restrooms, ingress and egress into the stadium area. We've changed our video in stadium. So if you go back probably 5, 6 years now, we didn't show replays that are, you know, controversial plays. We said shut them down because there was fear. Hey, you can look at your phone and see it. Yeah. Might be 20 seconds later, but you're going to see the play. So let's put it on the Jumbotron that we spend so much time on so people can see in real time and then experience the reaction, because that's one thing you don't feel at home is that fervor around the game, and we want to make sure that's special, and that's part of listening to fans. So hopefully that's a long sure. but thorough conversation about those two issues.
Real quickly, and you've been very outspoken on the recruiting calendar, and you talked about it a little bit in your announcement this week about I guess my question is, because now we've got the early signing period, we're going to work through and test that out. We've got all the new June visits and all that good stuff. It's a very massive conversation, but very quickly, is the hay out of the barn on the recruiting calendar, like just being like, there's no way we can push it back, right?
Well, I think the hay's out of the barn on certain elements. The expectation, the commitment is to look at what's happened in over 2 years' time. That's why we appointed a subgroup to just look at what's happening really, and what is it that we want. I think that's part of the key. It's fine to say we don't like something, but then you have to say, what do we want? And I think there are some behaviors that could develop that are concerning that may make us alter where we are. Now, I'm in the minority on that, which is where I say the hay's out of the barn.
Right.
I'm firmly convinced we're still going to recruit at a high level, but pushing things earlier and having less academic information, less interaction, seems the exact opposite of what coaches nationally have said they've wanted for years. And that's why I've consistently made the observation, I don't think the signing period is really, it sounds nice, but it's not where we want to go based on all that's been discussed.
Yep.
Fantastic stuff. SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey, we appreciate your time.
Yep.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Good to see you guys.
Thanks, Greg.
3D coming up next. We're late into it. We'll let them take over. Thanks to everybody for listening to Braden and Fitz, ESPN 102.5 The Game.